Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with us. We're going to be talking some Penn State football today. Donnie Collins from Scranton, who, by the way, was the one who opened the door on the allegations in the Sports Illustrated article last week. It was really Donnie that got the ball rolling on that. And then it was shut down pretty fast, where it became almost an instant non-story. But the good, solid reporting of Donnie Collins to at least get the information out there, and we'll talk to Donnie about that and how he was able to get the information out there, but also about the offseason for Penn State football, and also talk about Penn State football, one of the true hotbeds of Penn State, and that is Northeastern Pennsylvania, where once again they had over 900 people at the Greater Scranton chapter of the Penn State Booster Club up there at Gennetti's a couple of weeks ago, back on May 8th, when I did the golf tournament with Kevin. I went up after that and I emceed the event with Patrick Chambers, Bill O'Brien, and Mark Pavlik. We had a great time, but it was incredible to see. It was by far the largest crowd they had on the caravan this year. We'll talk to Donnie Collins about that. Kevin Kugler from Dow Global coming up tomorrow, and also the Big Ten Network. Coming up on the show, we'll have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. They'll both be on Friday's show. So we have a lot going on this week. This is a day we're going to talk not only to Donnie Collins, but we're going to talk more about the Phillies being sellers, because when you're treading water the way they have through the first third of the season, they're not exactly inspiring you to think that they're going to take off anytime soon, even though in their division and with a second wild card, the door is still open for them to make a run. The question is, when you have a high salary team like this one is, and especially with a couple of guys that are actually not performing poorly, Cliff Lee being one, he hadn't been that bad, but he's a high salary guy that maybe you want to move. The question is, how much of the money do you have to keep paying, and does somebody else want him at this stage? I mean, some interesting questions to ponder. As a Phillies fan, what would you do? Our Hilster's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilster's General Store. Go to www.hilsterstore.com, and don't forget Hilster's General Store, the 21st Century General Store, which has so many things you need to get through this spring with complete ease. They're right there for you, www.hilsterstore.com, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Join us. Love to hear from you today. Before we get to Donnie Collins and your calls, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan with 4-wheel drive, just $14,992. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe, $16,899. 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $25,999. 998, 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994, and a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R. Call for the price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Have you overcome your personal depression?
Not completely, no.
What's there to be depressed about?
Well, it's like when you have a big, you know, vacation that you've been planning for, and then you're done. You know, you're looking for something else to look forward to.
there's always something to look forward to.
And Detroit just doesn't cut it for me. Even though it is a dual race, Detroit doesn't cut it.
Oh, please. No, it doesn't do it for people in Detroit. Okay,
that right? may be
the people,
true.
Okay, the people in Detroit are focused on one thing and one thing only time.
Wonder what that is.
The Chicago Blackhawks. Now, for fans in our area, you may want to watch the end of that game.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, and that's because?
It is on NBC Sportsnet tonight. When the game is over at 11 o'clock, Bob Costas has a show tonight.
Oh, yes, I've heard about this.
And expect to hear about a family lawsuit being filed against the NCAA and also individuals.
Yeah, some of this is kind of already leaked out into the media a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit more to it, but there's a lot to it than what they have out there, I know. So, it is not just going to be against an organization. Also, individuals will be named. The suit will be filed tomorrow.
Now, here's a question. Why Costas?
Why? Because he was willing to sit back and listen to it.
Well, and again, here's a guy that was very much outspoken when this started and has taken some of that back.
Kevin, everyone was outspoken
True.
When it started.
That's a good point.
Okay? This has been as poorly reported a story as I've seen in a long time. And the same thing that when the Free Report came out. People didn't read the report, they read the narrative. People didn't listen to the press conference, they read the narrative. All right? The press conference started out by saying, we would have liked to have interviewed Coach Paterno. He said he was going to cooperate, which, by the way, Director Free has taken back. I don't know why. He said he wanted to cooperate, but because of his illness, subsequent death, we couldn't talk to him. We were requested not to talk to Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, or Mike McQuarrie. Graham Spanier is included in the report. You'll find him later in the report when you read it. That part was never reported for whatever reason. But when you put together a report, getting the perspective of the individuals targeted in the report is helpful because they're the ones that have the answers, and it's up to you then to choose whether or not to believe or disbelieve. That's called fairness. And look, anything involving any hideous behavior involving children, sickening behavior involving children, deserves to be criticized to the highest degree, especially at the individual that is convicted. And because it's children, I think people have reacted so strongly to this. But sometimes with time, perspective then starts to, now wait a minute, let's just be smart about this now. Wait a minute. We know the person that was tried and convicted and is in jail from alleged perpetrator to perpetrator. You always have time to figure out the other parts. If you send someone to trial and convict them with a jury of his or her peers, that is the job of finding out whether an alleged perpetrator actually is a perpetrator. And if found to be so, then you take that person off the streets. You've now removed a problem from society through trial. The other part is not a problem to society, and you can take longer to figure that part out as to what people did or didn't do, knew, and what they didn't know. And Costas, who was very aggressive in the beginning, like everybody else, and he did the interview on Rock Center with Brian Williams with Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, it's true.
And in which Jerry Sandusky came off about as poorly as you could ask a client to come off in an interview. I mean, that interview was terrible. Not what Bob asked. What Bob Costas asked were excellent, direct questions. The answers were disturbing. You sat back and go, what are you doing here? Now with time, part of looking at something in 2013 is that we have 2013 eyes looking back on whether it was 98 or 2001. Although I don't think there's much to look at in 98. It was taken to the desk of the district attorney. And we've had Bob Buhner on to talk about the perspective of Ray Grecar, his good friend, in all of this. So it goes back to 2001, which originally in the grand jury was reported as 2002. So even the date in the grand jury deal wasn't even correct. You have to be able to somehow, instead of looking at it with 2020 hindsight, 2013 eyes, you have to place yourself back in 2001 in their position, in their eyes, as to what they knew, didn't know, and the perspective they had to deal with and try to come up with answers at that particular moment. Did they come up with the wrong answers? Well, yeah. Were the answers just because you're trying to make decisions in the moment and there wasn't enough information disseminated to allow you to make a better decision? You have to look and see if that's a distinct possibility. Or if they did what they're charged with doing. How about that? But you need to step back and do that. Looking back on 2020 hindsight with 2013 eyes, well, wouldn't we all like to sit back with 2020 hindsight at decisions we've made in our lifetime or around us? Twenty twenty hindsight, do you vote in 1964 to go to Vietnam? You know, do you? Twenty hindsight with 2013 eyes, do you do a better job of checking two individuals at a Portland, Maine airport on the morning of September 11, 2001? In Portland, Maine, who then, of course, now get into the system and then go to Boston and fly two of the planes. 2020 hindsight with 2013 eyes, we could solve a lot of problems like that, can't we? But they don't put us in the shoes of the moment. So the lawsuit is going to be filed tomorrow. It's going to be filed, I believe, in Center County Court. And go from there. It's not just targeting an organization. It's they're evidently going to be individuals named in it. But they're going to use the Costas program following the Blackhawks-Red Wings Game 7. And they're going to use that program tonight to announce the suit. And from what I understand by the individuals that were interviewed and involved in the interview, they said Bob Costas was extremely well prepared and allowed people to talk. And I believe Wick Sollers, Dan McGinn, and Dick Thornburg are the three individuals who were interviewed. Does that solve anything in the moment? No, but it does put more pressure on the NCAA. It's a lot of lawsuits to deal with at one particular time. But that is a story that we'll deal with more tomorrow, but we wanted to get that out here now. Even though Kevin wants to talk about the Grand Prix of Detroit.
No. No. I think this is a more interesting story.
Yeah, I talked about you at lunch today. About your affinity for IndyCar racing.
I can't wait.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
One quick correction on that. There is no expert on Obamacare, not even the people that wrote the bill.
The thoughts of Steve Jones are not necessarily that of On the Mark.
I'm just saying, the people that wrote it don't even know what's in it.
Can't say you're wrong.
I know. I'm not making a political statement here.
I understand.
I'm just saying that I've never seen anything so confused in my life. Nobody knows what's in it. Oh. My advice is don't get sick. All right.
Now that's good advice.
The good, solid, sound advice. The only kind of advice you'd get here. All right. Hilscher's General Store Hotline, 800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 and 15. We call out now to our friend Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Hey. You were really the one, in a lot of ways, at the forefront of getting the information out about the Sports Illustrated story. How are you able to get in front of that the way you were able to, Donnie?
We were just able to get the story. I mean, we kind of lucked out on it. I mean, I know some people who were able to get me a copy of the story. So, yeah, so you know, I just gave it a good read, read it twice. I always, you know, got to read that stuff twice and make sure everything that's in it is something that you know to be accurate or whatever. You just throw it out there and let people, you know, discuss it in that way. And that's all I really did. I read the story and then went back and reread it and found what information I thought was most critical to the story. And, you know, the funny thing about it is there was a lot of information in that story. It was kind of six stories in one, really.
Yeah, it was in a lot of ways, it seemed like six stories in one. Yet, Penn State got out in front of it and was I think, definitive in its response to it, to the point where it seemed like they ended it right then and there. Your thoughts on how they went about it and their control of it?
Oh, I don't think Penn State could have done anything different or should have done anything different than they did. I mean,
right.
My personal opinion on the story is this. It was, you know, like, I don't want to use the words that Bill O'Brien used, the character assassination of Dave Joyner, but it read like that. It read that they had a lot more compelling information about Dave Joyner than they did about anything with the medical program, in my opinion. And I think that was in Penn State's opinion as well. And they really went out there after that aspect of the story and kind of, you know, let people know, hey, we dispute this. We are going to. We're going to provide you with the information on why we dispute this. We're going to make the coach available to you tomorrow to discuss this. And, you know, it turned into a very, almost, you know, a very spirited teleconference, as you know. So yeah, it was, you know, Penn State got out ahead of it. Penn State did what they really needed to do to kind of dispute that one aspect of the story, which is really what the basis of the story was about. And I think that kind of died out quickly because Penn State was able to basically rally the troops before the attack, I guess.
There are certain heavy pockets for Penn State in this state. Harrisburg, New York's a big pocket. The Reading area is. Actually, Pittsburgh is. Altoona, obviously, is another one. But, boy, northeastern Pennsylvania loves Penn State in terms of the pure support. And that greater Scranton chapter, which you obviously have been around a lot, when they have had either Joe or have had Bill there, they've had huge numbers. Can you describe the passion for Penn State one way or the other in that area? How would you describe it?
It surprises me how the passion for Penn State in the area, and it's only built over the years. And I think, I mean, Matt McGloin has obviously had a lot to do with that in recent years, you know, being from West Scranton and being as successful and as good a story as he was. But I don't think it's just that. There's a lot of graduates around here. The Greater Scranton chapter has always been one of the, you know, their annual dinner is always one of the best attended in the state of, you know, when it comes to fundraising gatherings for the respective local chapters. And you know, I think, what did they draw this year? 930 or something like that. They drew almost 1,000 last year for Bill's talk, and it's just. You know, and I know it overwhelmed them. It, you know, just to see that many people there waiting to hear what he had to say. And you know, I've been there a couple times when Joe was there, and Joe maybe drew more. It's always a fun time at those dinners. I mean, you were there. It's a very spirited night, and to you know, kind of see that just the passion that the people around here have for Penn State football and you know Penn State athletics in general. I mean, we see it on our. On our website, you know, you look at the most read stories on our website on a weekly basis, and you know, at Penn State's, if there's a good Penn State story out there, it's at the top, and there's not even a close second.
Yeah, I've done that dinner 14 straight years now. I've done that dinner, and the attendance is remarkable, regardless of what the program happens to be. It's just amazing that the passion. Which they turn out for that, and not only that, it's also a scholarship dinner, which really helps. And they just turn out in droves for it. You mentioned story on the website and reaction to stories on the website. It's a different era in writing and in your business, Donnie. How has that been for you to get that kind of instant reaction, pro and con, when you post something up there?
It's difficult, and I'm gonna be totally honest. I don't like it. I don't
understand.
Like the initial like gut reaction coming right at me because I just don't know how to respond to that kind of visceral response to something. It's you know I don't think people half the time think about what they say, and I try to when I write something, especially when it's a column and it's my opinion, I try to put some real thought into it and say. All right. Here's what I believe. It's based on this evidence, and that opinion could change. And you throw stuff there, and you hope that people understand that. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't seem like they do. And especially with Penn State and for a lot of reasons nowadays, that it seems like everybody's got that one opinion, and it's not going to change, and they're not going to hear any other side of any story. I heard, and the reason I say that is, you know, I obviously wrote about Matt McGloin a lot, and in a lot of ways there was nothing that kid could do that would convince people he was the best quarterback on the team even last year.
Right.
And it just shocked me because, I mean, clearly he was having a terrific season. Here's a guy representing the school well, representing himself well, and you would think that everybody would root for him, but you know, people still wondering, oh, he's the guy who, is he the guy who ran Bolden out of town? Is he the guy who ran Paul Jones out of town? You know, what if they had gotten a shot? I still heard that in November last year. So I really don't like the instant response. I understand that it's the wave of the future and that we have to deal with it. But I would really, you know, I prefer people have some time. I love the old letter writing campaigns. I used to love getting letters in the mail from people back in the, you know, 10, 15 years ago when people, you'd still get a, still get mail every once in a while because, you know, people had some time to think about it and write their response. But, you know, now you throw a story out there and, you know, 10 minutes later you got somebody criticizing you or praising you. It happens both ways. But, it's overwhelming at times because especially with the Penn State beat, there's always something to talk about.
Have you ever seen a game that defined somebody so much as the Outback Bowl game for Matt McGloin, which Penn State, by the way, was still winning in the fourth quarter. Have you ever seen a guy get defined by a game more than that, even though he had two more years of work after that?
he never recovered from that game. And in the mind of some people, I don't want to see, even say a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, some people did turn around on him. But, yeah, and they look at it, the five interceptions. And you're right. I mean, that's a game they're winning. Yeah, they're a better team than Florida that day. Matt wasn't ready for that kind of atmosphere at that point. He threw five interceptions. One of them is a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
So, right, which was run back for a touchdown, yeah.
Before. But, people just look at it and say, oh, you know, you're not going to put Bolden in the game there, and you're not going to develop your quarterbacks, the kids with all that potential. Then, you know, what really are you as a football program? But, honestly, that's a game that McGloin had Penn State in. There were some bad coaching calls in that game. Some of the play calls I didn't like, but the third and one, right? Yeah, they ran on third and one, or they threw on third and one. I think I don't even remember it so long ago. But yeah, that's a game that I think Penn State fans look to, and that was Matt McGloin was done with a lot of them at that point, because it was this four or five interceptions against Florida in a game they could have won, but he won them a lot of games over the years. And I really think that I covered Jerry McNamara when he came out of Scranton, went to Syracuse, and won the national championship as a freshman. And I thought that, you know, I'm never going to cover a guy like Jerry McNamara again, who just captivated the city like that. And Matt McLean did it. So I've been lucky to have covered two kids like that. And I think, you know, just my opinion, I think Penn State fans were really lucky to have had Matt McLean there.
Oh, I think Bill O'Brien will tell you how lucky he was to have him as his first quarterback at Penn State. I'm sure he would tell you that. As for Jerry McNamara, he had obviously in the end he ended up going to Syracuse. At some point, I know at some point he considered Penn State, but he made in the end what was a great choice for him, including a national championship. The busloads of people that would go from Scranton to the Carrier Dome to see him, especially in his senior year. How impressed are you by that kind of passion, even though he's not a Penn State, he's just one of their own, and they're just there for one of their own?
Yeah, that's the special thing about this city and this. You know, I'm not even going to call it the area. I'm just going to call it this city because, you know, Wilkes-Barre's had a lot of great, great athletes come out of there that really didn't get that support. Bob Sturr had a great career in the
sure
NBA.
Did.
You hardly ever hear about Bob Sturr out in Wilkes-Barre. But, yeah. You know, Jerry McNamara is Scranton. People, you know, I covered pretty much every Syracuse game there was, every big game anywhere there was to cover up there. And that last game at the Carrier Dome against Villanova in, God, it would have been 06 or 05 now. I'm not even sure. I've lost track. Mm-hmm. But it just to see the amount of people with signs, you know, talking about, you know, how, you know, him being Scranton's hero, him being, to get, you know, I drove, you know, from this many times up here to see him on the March bus from Scranton. Yeah, it's just, you look around that place that day and you really saw that he had captivated so many people from the area, because it seemed like every sign had the word Scranton in it. And, you know, obviously people from Syracuse aren't going to have have signs about Scranton, Pennsylvania, but McNamara was a real. He was a real gem for this area, and in the sense that he played hard. He was a no-nonsense guy, and he really represented what this area is about. And McGloin did that too. You know, nobody's ever going to tell Matt McGloin no if he thought he could do something, he was going to go out there and do it. And yeah, it's interesting because I think Penn State came closer to getting Jerry McNamara than anyone probably realized.
Oh, I do.
He
I realize
number two in line there.
Oh, no, I realized, Donnie, how close they were.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing story. And, like, what Florida State, if I recall correctly, and then he went on to the NBA. There was a kid named Bobby Stevenson up at Elk Lake who went to Tulsa and so forth. But it's amazing what these two guys have been able to do in terms of getting people turned on. What about moving forward? What kind of read do you have on how people feel in your area about moving forward, sanctions, and trying to survive it together?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a feeling, you know, from the people I know up here, that the guys who really love the Penn State program, who've been around it. You know, there's definitely a feeling this year that wasn't around last year. It's that, you know, maybe we could survive this with some dignity and some respect and do a good job on the football field at the same time. O'Brien gets a lot of credit for that. You know, that scheme, that system. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you look at, there's a lot of skill position guys coming back from this year's team, and I don't think there's anybody. I mean, maybe the read's different out that way, but I think most of the people here I talk to think that this team's going to be pretty good this year.
Oh, I think that a lot of people feel that way here too, Danny. Yeah, I think people feel that way here too. That you know, if they can stay healthy, yeah. Big part of it, and they can be good.
Yeah, that's always going to be the key with this team is health. And you know, there are some pretty good Scranton area players still on the team. I mean, Naeem Wortman is a guy that everyone around here knows is really pretty good.
So, yeah, Jessup.
So while there's, he's from Valley View, right out of Jessup, just probably about 5-6 miles outside of town. But you know, that's a kid that everybody around here knows can play, and everybody around here is, you know, kind of looking at that linebacker situation in a different light than a lot of people are. You know, wondering, people wonder about the depth at every position on this team, especially the linebacker spot. But you know, around here, you know, Wortman is a guy that everyone knows could fill that spot pretty well. So see, I think if this team is even mediocre this season, I think people around here will be disappointed.
And between that, you have Eric Shrive, and also a guy that's going to be a big contributor down the road, and he was at the Scranton dinner that night, Geno Lewis.
Yeah, Geno Lewis is good. He needed that year off, too, last year. I heard a lot of people think he was going to come in and then start right away, but, you know, it's not as easy as it sounds going from quarterback to receiver. He had to learn that whole scheme, that whole system, and got to become a better route runner, better receiver. So I think he's going to have a nice season this year, and people are going to see what he's all about. He's a big athlete, really, really, really good-looking athlete for a kid his age. Shrive actually had a good spring, and you know, people consider him a disappointment. I've heard people say he's the most disappointing recruit they've ever gotten. I just laugh at that. I mean, I thought Eric Shrive was a guard coming out of high school, coming out of West Scranton, and you know, he got here, and you know, it just so happens that this team has a really good guy. Herschel is a terrific guard. So, I mean, not a lot of guys would have beaten out Herschel. And once, you know, Penn State figured out Shrive was probably better suited at guard, which is, I think, where he's probably going to see most of his action, even though he's played a little bit of tackle in the spring. But, you know, Herschel's a terrific player, and Shrive just hasn't been able to beat him out. But he's a guy that this team is going to need this year. This is a guy who could play. He could play guard. He could play both tackle positions. And you're going to need that kind of run, you know, when you got the scholarship, you know, questions and the depth concerns. So, yeah, I think this is going to be another good year for the Scranton area athletes on that team. They got a couple of walk-ons coming in, I think, too, but you know, from the area. But yeah, I think those two guys are going to play, you know, play quite a bit, and they're going to have a big impact.
And what's interesting too is that so often when people have looked at the Bill O'Brien offense, they've referenced the NFL. Well, in the NFL, on the offensive line, you have your five starters, but you have like two, maybe three other guys that can play multiple spots, and that's your depth. Shrive can play four positions on the offensive line. I thought he contributed heavily last year in what he did. He'll contribute heavily this year. If you get two really productive years out of the guy playing multiple spots, I'm sorry, anybody who raises the amount of money he's raised for charity and uplifting athletes should never be called a bust.
Oh, I am with you on that one. I sit here and I even actually hated using the term because I just think it glorifies what some people say. But you know, this is a guy who got every ounce of himself out of the college experience.
Yes.
I mean, he developed into a leader. He's a much, much more outgoing guy than he was when he left West Scranton. He's always been a friendly guy, don't get me wrong, but now he's learned to be a leader at Penn State. He relishes this role. It's something that he loves. And I think, you know, and I'm not saying this, I mean, some people will probably take this the wrong way, but I think that role is what he was sent to Penn State to play.
Right.
You know, he's that leader. He's the off the field guy that a lot of people are going to go to look for some guidance this year. I really believe that. And I don't think he's a bad player.
Yeah,
if I'm a coach, I don't want him to. Some of the stupid penalties he had last year. I mean, a couple of personal fouls that just weren't necessary, and he hurt his team in that way. And I think that kind of cost him some playing time, you know, early on. But by the end of the year, he was a good, consistent, productive backup who played a lot. And I think that's a valuable guy to have. It's not as easy as, you know, saying, oh, Rivals.com says you're a five-star tackle, you should be a tackle next year. It's not that easy. You have to see what they're all about and develop those players and see how they fit into your system. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, if Shrive was really a five-star tackle, he shouldn't have gone to Penn State. But, you know, if he didn't go to Penn State, he wouldn't have been able to raise this amount of money for kidney cancer. He wouldn't have been able to develop into this leader that he's become. So I think he's done a great job for himself, made a bunch of great decisions in his life, and I think Scranton's really, really proud of him, because they should be. He's a guy who's done very well for himself. He's represented the area and his team.
Donnie, always great respect for your work, and always a great pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Don't forget tonight, midnight to 6, exclusively here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin goes through each member of IndyCar from pit crew to driver. That's midnight to 6.
Nah, I think I'll save that for another day.
I think midnight to 6 is perfect.
CBS Sports is doing a great job in that slot. I don't want to take away from their thunder.
I think midnight to 6 is perfect for
I'm
it.
I'm sure you do.
And I speak for Lawrence on that.
I'm sure you do.
Boy, then you go into depression because your obsession has gone by the boards.
The football season's just around the corner.
It's only May.
Yeah, you got to look forward to something, right?
I'm not an issue with this guy.
Well,
we have
you
Guy Gadowski tomorrow, Penn State ice hockey head coach, and Kevin Kugler, Dial Global, and Big Ten Network.
Speaking of football. Tomorrow.
Yes, we have a lot to talk about on a show where it's obvious now who actually is the positive one and who has obviously heavy depression issues. Don't forget, we'll be at the golf course. Oh, we did talk about your golf game at lunch today.
I'm sure you did.
Oh, we did. Oh, my goodness. And I talked about you in the straightest drive hole and how you did it. I said, it's the first time I've ever seen a guy, I said, hit the ball where the ball traveled 300 yards to go 40, but it was 1 foot away from the line. I said, and I never saw a ball get a foot away from the line crossing two fairways.
It is unique.
That was quite, I mean, I describe, everybody was in stitches. Fran Fischer thought it was the funniest thing going.
And unfortunately, Fran knows me, so.
He knows you better now.
I'm sure he does.
News coming up, top of the hour, next hour. We're going to talk about what you want to talk about. We've talked about what Kevin wants to for the past month. Let's change it up. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.